Back from the dead, or I haven't been dead, but have not done a podcast since spring. So I missed all the NBA playoffs, which was a lot of fun, the NFL draft. I don't ever talk baseball, so we didn't miss much there, and college football was done, and so was the NFL. So I guess just the NBA, but I'm back. Season 7, Matt Biamonte podcast with a resolve yet again to be more consistent doing podcasting and giving you some thoughts on sports and entertainment, pop culture, stuff like that. But I'm back, and this first episode is going to all be about the Lakers offseason. Just wanted to chime in on that before we get into some bigger picture stuff and get ready for NFL and college football. So let's get to it. My thoughts on what the Lakers did after a surprise run to the Western Conference Finals. Good morning, everyone. Season 7 of the Matt Biamonte podcast. Here we go. It's been a few months since I've done a podcast. It's been a busy summer here in Utah, and it's been a busy summer in sports. And there's a lot to discuss. And as you know, for those of you who have subscribed to the podcast, I've been inconsistent. Life is difficult. When you work a couple jobs, it's hard, but I'm going to do a little better here in Season 7 to be a little more regular, talking NBA, NFL, college football, entertainment. That's something that I love, too. So I want to just do a couple quick thoughts on the NBA offseason for this return and introduction to Season 7 here. As you guys know, I talk a lot of Lakers on the podcast because I grew up a Lakers fan, and it's been interesting to watch this team over the past decade or so since that last dynasty. Dynasty is a tricky word, and it's probably not fair to call the Kobe and Pau Gasol Laker team a dynasty. The only one too. They did go to 3 finals in a row and then made a semi-deep run in that fourth year before Dallas blew them away and then went on to win the championship over Miami. So let's not call it a dynasty. That's, you know, when I compare that group to the Shaq and Kobe team, to the Jordan era, even to the current Warriors, they didn't achieve as much, so I don't think they are a dynasty now that I think about it. But since then, gosh, it's been a roller coaster ride for Laker fans and for myself because they've mostly been bad. But because of the Lakers, they get LeBron James when they probably shouldn't have. And a lot of that had to do with him just wanting to be in LA, but rather play for them than the Clippers. It's just been mostly bad. And there were some really dark moments, and I've been very vocal on this podcast that I don't believe Rob Pelinka is the right executive to lead the Lakers into another era of competency, because up until the end of the Kobe Bryant times, they were basically in the playoffs every year under the stewardship of Dr. Jerry Buss. He was one of the great owners in the history of sports, and they were always relevant. Not being in the playoffs for years at a time was unacceptable. They were always in the playoffs. And a lot of times they were in the finals. They won a lot of finals under Jerry Buss, and they went to a lot of finals under Jerry Buss. So can Rob Pelinka get back to a place of we're relevant every year? You can't win an NBA championship every year, every other year. It's not realistic. It's too hard, and the league is too talented. But I think it is fair for a team like the Lakers and for Laker fans to expect to be in the playoffs nearly every year. I think that is fair because they have a lot of advantages over other teams. Location, history, all those things help the Lakers. They should be relevant. And then on top of that, the Lakers have a phenomenal scouting department. Their college scouting is some of the best in the league. You look at some of the dudes they have drafted since they've gotten bad. Airplane flying above us here in Utah. I love these morning walks. That is a big airplane, and it's low. They have drafted Brandon Ingram. I'm just ripping off the top of my head. These are good rotational players. Brandon Ingram, Larry Nance, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball was peaking before possibly a career-ending injury. Alex Caruso was undrafted that they developed. Same goes for Austin Reeves. Kyle Kuzma just signed a big deal in the offseason. Like, they have a team. If they had just kept everyone they drafted, they're probably a playoff team. Like, they've done a really solid job during their bad stretch of identifying college talent. They just can't keep it. They had to trade a lot of them away for LeBron. They've made some really... Zubats is another guy. Ivica Zubats, who's been a starting center for the Clippers for a long time now. So, all of this is to say, Rob Pelinka has demonstrated since he became the GM and then elevated when Magic left, he's just demonstrated he hasn't been good at his job, quite frankly. So they have a great offseason this year, right? And it really dates back to the trade deadline last year. However, everything they did at the trade deadline that allowed them to go to the Western Conference Finals, I think... Let's not get too carried away with praising Rob Pelinka, because he really was just undoing a lot of mistakes that he made. So I'm not going to give him too much credibility for the trade deadline acquisitions, where he got Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, D'Angelo Russell. Most importantly, you get rid of Russell Westbrook. Can't give him too much credibility, because if he had never traded for Russell Westbrook, they still have Kyle Kuzma, they still have KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who ends up with Denver and wins a title. He was their best defender and a reliable three-point shooter. They still have those two guys. They have a couple extra picks. So I can't give him credit for the trade deadline. This offseason, though, was his best offseason he's ever had. And it's opened the door for, I think, a lot of Laker fans, including myself, to give him some more time to prove that he can stack multiple years together of doing the right thing. Because they could have traded some players. They could have renounced the rights to some dudes they traded for, Rui Hachimura. And they could have opened up some cap space and maybe made a run at Kyrie Irving or other guys that signed for a lot of money. And they didn't. And the deals they made, basically all of them, I think, were slam dunk deals. It's one of the best offseasons the Lakers have had since maybe 2009, when they were able to bring in Ron Artest at the mid-level, and he made a difference at winning a second title over the Boston Celtics. That was a really good group. This offseason, biggest and most successful deal by far was bringing Austin Reeves back at the maximum that they could offer, which was 4 years, 52, 54, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, $1 million. Other teams could have signed him to as many as 4 years, $100 million. And Austin Reeves recently on some smoke podcast with Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, said that he did hear from Houston and San Antonio. Wouldn't disclose the offers, but he wanted to be back in LA. And to get him at that number, because they probably would have matched a bigger deal, as they should, by the way. I think Austin Reeves is just barely scratching his potential. And he's also someone, too. This is such an underrated skill set in the NBA. He's someone who can fit in with anybody because of his skill set. He can play off ball. He can run pick and roll. He can score at the rim. He can hit the three like he did in the playoffs. obviously not going to ever be, I think, a number one or number two. But he can, he's a lot like Al Caruso, even though they do different things well. Caruso was a great defender. Reeves is not a great defender, but a better offensive player to take the pressure off LeBron. They can fit in with the group. There's no ego. There's no problems. They're beloved by the fans. They're great teammates. Coaches rave about them. Darvin Ham has nothing but good things to say about Reeves. Frank Vogel loved Alex Caruso. Like, that's a valuable skill, not only just in the NBA, but in life, being able to fit in, be a good teammate, be easy to get along with. There's not a lot of those guys in the NBA, and when you find them and they work with your star players, you need to keep them. And the Lakers were going to do that, but to do it at a price that is fair for what Reeves has shown. $452. That deal could be moved down the road. I don't know why they would ever want to do that, but it can be. It doesn't hurt the cap. Phenomenal to bring him back at that deal. And they didn't mess around like they did with Caruso, where it's like, we want you back, but we're going to lowball you. Don't do that. He has value. Pay him what he's worth. And he's probably worth more than that. So I thought that was huge. You bring back Rui Hachimura on a similar deal. I think it's less years, a little bit more money. Rui is a gamble, but he has all the makings of being a starting caliber stretch four in the league, which is exactly what you want opposite of AD. And he did it in the playoffs. They got him for 3 second round picks and no players. Think about that. And then they were able to get some of those assets back in a later trade. So you bring back Rui. He slides into that starting unit along with AD and LeBron. That's a great, and it's a big 3-4-5 combination. Fantastic. If he can shoot like he did last year after working with the Lakers skills coach, Phil Handy, that could be a diamond in the rough because he is young. This, and that's what I love about a lot of these moves. They got younger. There's a path into the post-LeBron era where you're not a dump. That's a very underrated component to this offseason for the Lakers. So they bring back Rui. I love that trade. Then what they did in filling out the roster, Jackson Hayes, young, had some off-the-court issues. Didn't always fit with New Orleans. But if you're going to go cheap and fill out the end of the bench, I always want to see young players that were high draft picks that didn't fit in. Because that's something we can all relate with, right? You take a job, you don't fit in, you don't love your coworkers, you don't love the culture, you don't love the company. You want to change. And any potential change could unlock potential. We've seen it a lot in the NBA. So Jackson Hayes, slam dunk. Same for Cam Reddish. He only had like one blip in Atlanta where he was any good. He's probably not good. But again, if you're going to fill in the 10th, 11th, 12th spot on the roster, do it with a young player with upside who, with the right staff, with the right supporting cast, can be a good player. So I love the Cam Reddish signing. I love the Gabe Vincent signing. I would have been okay bringing back Dennis Schroeder. But he got a lot of money and he deserved it. The Schroeder saga, I'm not going to cover here, but it's an interesting one. He was one of the Lakers. He could have been the third best player last year post-deadline. He was that good. Good morning. But it was only a two-year deal with Toronto, which I think it would have been fine with the Lakers paying. However, does he purely complement that starting group? I don't know. Are you done with the apple? Do you want me to hold it? Okay. Losing him was, if you want to nitpick anything the Lakers did, it would be losing Schroeder. But he's not a great three-point shooter. He's best with the ball in his hands, I think. But how often do you want him to have the ball in his hands? Credit to Schroeder in the playoff run for being a willing perimeter defender, their best willing and perimeter defender. and they needed that. But I think you get that in Gabe Vincent. They're both small. Gabe Vincent gives you a little more consistent three-point shooting, I think. He's younger. He has a really team-friendly deal. I pencil him in as the starter. And look, bring back D'Angelo at a low cost, short year low cost. Sign me up. And I was very frustrated with D'Angelo during that playoff run. Not consistent at all. Didn't have the best attitude at times. And a bad defender. So that bothered me. But to bring him back at essentially a one-year deal, if you can talk him into a bench role, six man, it's going to be very hard to do because he's made a lot of money and he's always started and he's a high draft pick. I get it. But if you can get him as the six man, he's rocking it with Jared Vanderbilt, Jackson Hayes sometimes in that second unit. I kind of like that. So, and then he can just be a heavy pick and roll dude off the bench, shoot a lot. We just want you to get hot, pop some threes. I like it. So, I think this Lakers team has the potential to win an NBA championship. They bring back a lot of that group that went to the Western Conference Finals, even though they got swept by Denver. Denver's clearly better. Every single one of those games was close. And if somebody, a D'Angelo, Jackson Hayes, if just somebody other than, and even, look, AD didn't play well against the Joker. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine in the NBA, actually, to call this guy the Joker because he has a name, Jokic. So, hypocritical me. AD did not play well against Jokic. Jokic clearly played better than him. He was the league MVP, in my opinion. But if AD plays a little better, LeBron plays a little better, you get a little more contribution around them, which I think they have better, more reliable supporting cast production right now, I think that series could have gone another way. So I think they got to stay healthy. They got to have two or three dudes that they signed hit. Maybe Gabe Vincent takes a step. You'd love to see Reeves take another step to where he's clearly the third best player. Anyways, they're in a great position. If they don't win and LeBron wants to leave, they're in a reliable situation going forward. And that, it's the first good offseason in Pelinka's career. He gets no credit for signing LeBron. He gets no credit for trading for AD. This is the first offseason where you say, excellent front management. It sets us up well for this year and for the future, because that's important when your best player is in his 22nd year. I think that's what it is. 21st, 22nd year. You can't be all in on that anymore. You have to start to see a plan for afterwards, and I think they do, which is really encouraging, because it felt like for a while there that when LeBron leaves, we're going to be the worst team in the league. That's no longer the case. All right, there's my early thoughts on the Lakers offseason. I'll do some more NBA talk as we get closer. Most of my college football talk centers around BYU, and I do a radio show with Mitch Harper of KSL Sports. He's a great reporter, great insider for the BYU beat. We do a show called Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Do that every Saturday, noon to 3. Go check out that pod. Look, I'm biased because I'm a part of it, but I think we do great BYU content. Any other college football stuff I'll put here. NFL stuff. I'm really interested in the NFL. I got a lot of thoughts as camp is opening up. So I'll maybe do, maybe the next pod will be my NFL storylines that I'm paying attention to, camp battles, all that kind of stuff, because there's some good ones. I'm following some of them with some local ties here in the state of Utah. NFL's getting fun. That Netflix show, Quarterback, was awesome. So we'll do that next. We'll talk quarterback, NFL, on episode 2 of season 7. Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to the pod. I'm committed this time to being more regular. So that's my goal. I'm going to do it. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. day. Have a good rest of your summer. Kind of feels like still in summer, but it feels like you can see the end of summer coming with college football around the corner. So enjoy your summer, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for listening. Take care.